Matt, and on behalf of Pastor Scott and Pastor Daniel here at Terra Nova Church, it's my pleasure to welcome you here on this Christmas Eve where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Join us tonight as we come near and see and reflect this light that has come to us. Welcome.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Thus, the scriptures begin to tell the story. It is a story about God. It is a story about where we can learn from, where we come from, why we are here, what went wrong in this broken world, and where this is all going. The Bible says that the earth was formless and void, and darkness hung over the deep. There's something unsettling about darkness. Even now, as we sit here, someone wonders, did they forget to pay the electric bill? It's weighty. We long to see the light so that we can see the color and beauty around us. There's something off about the darkness. The Bible goes on to say that God spoke light into existence, and what was once dark then became illuminated, and he began to fill this earth, this place that he had created with beauty and color that reflects off the light that we see. Like a husband preparing his new home for his new bride, like a new dad preparing a nursery for his newborn child, he fills this earth with provision and sustenance, and beauty, and color, and song, and music. It is a perfect home for his love. In the culmination of his creative acts, he gets down in the dirt and the dust, and he forms out of the dirt that earth that he created the first man. He names him Adam because he came out of the earth. From Adam, he forms a woman and creates humanity, and he puts them in this perfect home, in this perfect place. And Adam and Eve and God share this oneness and unity and relationship, not unlike marriage, where they live together in relationship and harmony and oneness. It's the perfect place where they walk in the cool of the day and talk with one another. And it's just as God had created it. He looks at all of his creation and he says, "It is good." The honeymoon for God and humanity did not last long because Lucifer, one of God's chief angels, rebelled against God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to raise his throne above God. God cast him and his fallen angels to earth, where Satan, Lucifer, turned his malice and hatred for God towards those who bore God's image, humanity. He tricks, he lies, he deceives, and he gets Adam and Eve to join him in this coup. He does this by telling them to disobey the one rule that God had given them. And so they take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes are opened. And the perfect relationship, the perfect place in which they lived, was shattered and broken. The result of this is that we live in a broken earth, in a broken place. The relationship between God and man has been severed. It's almost like a divorce. God could have in that moment wiped them out. He could have in that moment taken this wayward love who had run off with his worst enemy and just said, "Forget it." But in that moment of their sin, in that moment of their rebellion, in that moment of their rejection against God, God made a promise that he was going to send someone who was going to come and undo all that had been broken. He was going to send someone who would make a way for humanity to get back to God. Before, you see, it's not just Adam and Eve who rebelled against God, but all of us did in that moment. The Bible says, "For by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death has spread to all of us, because the consequences of sin, the consequence of their rebellion against God, was death." And we, friends, all of us are born dead in trespasses and sin, fighting against God, warring against him in our hearts. But God was not done showing humanity the greatness of his love, and so he made a promise that he would send someone who would come. And the rest of the Bible is the story of how God, of this one who he's going to send, of how God is going to do this, of how he's going to bring man back to himself and restore what has been broken. He would send angels, he would send prophets, and the prophets would speak of this one who was going to come. Tonight, as we begin our celebration of the coming of this one, we light our first candle of Advent. It's a light that breaks through the darkness because it's a promise that is given to us. A promise of this one who will come to undo what has been broken. The prophets say his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. That he will come, he will be born of a virgin, that he will rescue us from our sins. The first candle we light tonight is the prophet's candle. It reminds us that God's promise foretold, that this coming of Jesus was his plan all along. And so those who dwell in darkness, who have seen the light, can stand and sing, O come, Emmanuel." Stand with us.
Ransom captivity. Matthew 2:1-6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, and assembled all chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the ruler of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
The prophet spoke of a prophet and priest and king who would come. He would be the chosen one, the promised one, who would push back the darkness and bring light once again. He was going to be this mighty king. He was going to be this prophet who spoke the words of God. He was going to be this priest who would mediate between man and God. The second candle we light tonight is the Bethlehem candle. It reminds us of the way in which Jesus came. Because though he was a king and the rightful ruler, he didn't come in royal regalia, but he came as a peasant. Though he was a priest, he did not come in pomp and splendor, decked out in holy vestments, but he came to earth in swaddling clothes and a bloody, dirty filth of a barn. Though he was a prophet, he did not enter the world with a loud voice, but he came crying as a baby, vulnerable, low. God enters human history and comes into the world, into a no-name country, to a no-name people. He is born in a barn to a no-name town, to a no-name peasant girl who everyone thought was an adulteress. He doesn't come in great pomp and circumstance and splendor. The king who spoke the world into existence comes as a servant, comes humbly. When God sends a hero into the world, he does it upside down and backwards from the way in which we would expect, the way in which we would do things. God's kingdoms will come not by the strategies of men, But he will come humbly, looking in what looks like failure and what looks like weakness. He comes in this way so that we would know through his strength that it's him. The Bethlehem candle reminds us that Jesus comes not in a fancy way, but in a way of humility. This king, it makes the king approachable to lowly peasants like us. It makes the priest accessible to unworthy sinners. And it makes the words of the prophet music to all those who have ears to hear. Stand with us and sing with us, O little town of Bethlehem.
Chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth on peace among those who with whom he is pleased."
Since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible calls this time the reign of darkness, or darkness has reigned. The people longing to hear, longing to see this one who God would promise would come and push back the darkness with light. And this one night, shepherds on the field, the skies lit up, and they had this great announcement. Now, when you and I want to share good news, when we have something spectacular happen in our lives, we want to tell the most important people, the people closest to us, the influencers in our lives, right? We want to create a buzz around these events. We'll even hire marketing firms to help us with our brand to make sure that the most influential people and the most important people get this news first. But God shocks us by the kind of people whom he announces, this great hero that he has promised long ago. He doesn't announce to the rich or the wealthy, the powerful, the playmakers. He doesn't make his declaration to the religious or the spiritually good enough or the noble or the influencers of the day. Instead, he makes this grand announcement that people have been waiting for all this time to these lowly shepherds. The third candle we light tonight is the shepherd's candle. And the shepherd's candle reminds us of the kind of people to whom God comes to, of whom he announces this great hero to. By this time in history, this profession of being a shepherd was one of the lowest professions you can get. Parents did not dream about their kids growing up to become shepherds. It was dirty. It was a smelly job. It was for the lowliest of people. You're surrounded by animals and the nature of their work and what they would do and the dirt and the blood and the smell and just the lowliness of it all made it so they were considered unclean. And according to Jewish tradition, they couldn't just walk into the temple where they were supposed to worship God because of their uncleanliness, because they were unclean. One of the most beautiful pictures I see in all of the scriptures here is this, is that when man can't come to God, God comes to man. This is what we see. They were the kind of people that you would not expect to have access to God. They're the kind of people that were on the outskirts of society, in the outskirts of the religious circles. But God comes to them. And in this way, the shepherds are representative of all of us, of all of who come from Adam's fallen race, because we too by our birth are broken, we are unclean, we are all unworthy and unable to make our way to God. There's nothing we can do to earn our way to him, to fix our brokenness. So God has to come to us. And this is what happens this Christmas night. Emmanuel. God breaks through the heavens and comes to humanity who can't reach him. This is good news for all of us here, that when we can't make our way to God, God enters history and makes his way to us so that he can bring us back to him. Sing with us, O Holy Night. Thank you.
36. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, of his kingdom. There will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
The first promise given to man of this one who would come was that he was going to be the seed of a woman who would crush the head of the serpent, who would push back against the darkness by taking out the enemy. Fourth candle we light tonight is the angel candle. Angels are messengers. They were sent by God to man to give his people clarity on what was taking place so that no one missed it. It was the angel Gabriel who showed up to the Virgin Mary and announced Jesus' coming. It was the angels who, in brilliant, terrible, beautiful display, sang over the shepherds that night. We bring you glad tidings of great joy for all people. The angel candle reminds us tonight that this coming of Jesus was good news for everyone. It wasn't just good news for Mary, who heard that she was the woman through whom the seed would come. It's not good news just for the Jewish people who this king would come to rule over. But it was good news for everyone. Not just rich people, not just religious people, not just good people. It was glad tidings for all people, to all of us. This message of Jesus transcends social, cultural, and ethnic lines. It's a love letter to humanity. As God is writing for us the next chapter of this love letter in his pursuit for all of us, in his pursuit of all of our hearts, to win us back from this rebellion that we find ourselves in, to push back against the darkness, and to provide a way to crush the enemy and make us one with him again. Hark the herald, angels sing.
John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hebrews 1:1-3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power.
The final candle that we light tonight is the one we've been waiting for all along, the one promised to us long ago, the Christ candle. Christ, the word, means God's chosen king. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Savior, the chosen king, the one whom God has promised, the one who has come to push back against the darkness, who in a dark world shines light of truth, peace, joy, hope, and love. In former times and in many ways, we just heard, God was speaking to us through our fathers and through the prophets, but now, he speaks to us through his Son. God has sent us a word that is better than the word of prophets, a word that is better than the message of the angels. It is himself that he sends, the word of God, made flesh to dwell with us. Are you hearing that tonight? Do you hear the things that God is speaking and saying to us through Christ tonight? For God so loved the world. Think about that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God is speaking. Jesus is the very word of God. He is God's answer to Adam's fall and curse. He was the one through whom the prophet spoke about an angel saying, he was the one who spoke the world into existence, we just heard. He has been the one who has loved us all along, who has pursued us every step of the way as we run from him and we hide from him like Adam and Eve did in the garden. He would not give up on us. He would not walk away from us. He was not willing to let us go. He pursues us, chases us down, and shows us the extent of his love. He was the one that was promised all the way back when man first ran away from God. And he would come to us on a mission. He would make a way to get back to God, for all of us to have a relationship with God once again. And he would do that not in the manger, but he would do that in the cross. You see, Jesus came on a mission. He had to undo all that was broken by Adam's sin and fall. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. This is what God promised Adam would happen if he disobeyed. And the moment that Adam took that fruit and ate, he didn't drop down dead, but spiritually he died. And so God has to make us spiritually alive again. He does this through Jesus because we are all debtors. The only way to pay the penalty is for Christ to pay the price of death, the death sentence that we all owed, to take our punishment upon himself. In order to solve the justice of the eternal consequence of our sin against God, God would have to die for us, to taste death for us, so that we would not have to die. He became a willing sacrifice, paying the price for our sin. The scriptures proclaim that on the cross, Christ took our guilt, our shame, literally the record of wrongs that we have done, and he nailed them to the tree. He took our curse so that mankind could be free. He took our record of wrong and he paid for it on the cross. He died on the cross for us to pay the penalty for our sin, our wrongs, because we couldn't do it. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, hell, and the grave. This is what we celebrate at Easter. He became the firstborn, Hebrews tells us, of a whole new kind of humanity, the firstborn of many brothers. He paved the way for us to get back to God. He was a forerunner of this new kind of faith, this salvation from the penalty of death that we all owe is for all those who believe. No longer do we need to be separated from God, because all those who come to him in faith, believing, he will receive. Jesus is the door of salvation. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. There's only one way, Jesus said. It's through me. We are the love that he has been pursuing. And he offers each and every one of us all of his wayward love, a new life with him. And he gets on a knee, as it were, in a proposal. I told you this is a love story. And he offers freedom from the bonds in which we were born, freedom to be close to God once again, not because of anything we have done, not because of our goodness, not because of our ability, not because of my good works, but because of what he has done. The gift of God, the Bible says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift, a proposal that God offers to us with arms outstretched. So how do we receive that? How do we claim that? How do we say yes to this offer of forgiveness, this proposal of fellowship and oneness and community and unity with God once again? The Apostle Paul says it this way to the Philippian jailer who came to him with questions and says, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle Paul looks at him and says, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. This word believe is equivalent to trust. It's taking and placing our trust in Jesus, that his sacrifice on the cross, that his coming to this planet to walk among us, God with us, and his payment for our sin was enough, that there's nothing for us to do. It's trusting totally and completely in him. And this is good news. This is good news for broken people who don't have it together, right? This is good news for people who aren't good enough, because we can trust in Jesus and find our salvation. We receive this gift. This is how the gospel is spread. From the very beginning, as Jesus stands up to his disciples and says, go into the world and proclaim this to everyone you meet. And hear that they can have new life, that the darkness that they live in doesn't have to be anymore, that this light can come in them, that they can find salvation not in themselves and not in what they can do and not in their abilities and not in their own goodness, but they find salvation through Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross, risen as the firstborn of many brothers. And so the apostles went out and took this message, the light of the gospel of Christ, and they took this message out to the world. Now, all of us who have heard of this light from someone else, who shared it from somebody else, and from somebody else going all the way back to the very beginning, all of us have this job now of pressing back against the darkness with the truth of the gospel. This good news of what God has done through Jesus, we pass the light from person to person until the whole earth is engulfed in light. As we pass this light and sing this song, will you consider your life? Have you trusted and believed in this promised one who God said he would send? We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his life. We remember his death and his resurrection. Have you believed? Have you received this light? Have you said yes to the proposal that God gives to all of us? Have you said yes to Jesus? If not, what better night to receive it? If not, what better night to say yes to this promised one who God has sent to bring us back to him? Would you stand with me? Thank you. Thank you all for joining us tonight. As you walked in this evening, you received a card like this. It says Loveland 46 on it. One of the things that we believe as a church is that we are not only to push back against the darkness in a spiritual way, telling people the truth and the joy of who Christ is and what he's done, but also in a physical way, in the reality of this broken world, because there's still darkness in this place. Loveland 46 is an organization that seeks to end child trafficking and exploitation all over the world. And they have in the Philippines a round home and white home, which are homes for children who are rescued out of trafficking. And so this Christmas season, what we're doing as a church is raising funds to support those two homes. And so as you leave tonight, you can follow the instructions on this card to give to Loveland 46 for that purpose. Or there are buckets in the back that you can see that have the Loveland 46 sticker on that you can donate. Everything that comes in tonight is going to go straight to Loveland 46 to help push back against the darkness and ending child sex trafficking. So we encourage you to do that. There's also a table downstairs of information of how you can get engaged right here in our community to help see child sex trafficking end right here in this place. Thank you for coming, and we sing this last song together. Have a Merry Christmas.
The light of the world. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.